Anyway, today we're talking about after final practice, generally after, and one of the other things we did add, it's not actually after final, it's actually after allowance, and that is the Cupid's practice. So we're going to give a little bit of Cupid's, which deals with after allowance, and then many of the options that we have, or I call the smorgasbord of availability of after final practice. When you hear the word close of prosecution, you assume, and many people would, that that's it. But that's actually not it when it comes to the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and we have many, many options for applicant to do after that closing of prosecution. Some of the options after final can be a RCE, an amendment affidavit under 116, or even it could come after appeal under 41.33. Or you could file a notice of appeal. All of those are what I call the clock stoppers. If the amendment happens to put in condition for allowance, it would be a clock stopper. If not, the clock would continue to run until such time as we either have an amendment that does such or one of the other two things. In addition, during these periods, we have a couple after final pilots. One of them is the 2.0, which is goes hand in hand with 1.116 in some ways. And we also have the pre-appeal brief conference program, which sort of goes hand in hand with the notice of appeal because it has to be filed with that. And our third, the third thing we'll talk about is the Cupid's, which goes after payment of the issue fee. So to avoid abandonment of the application after final is you generally have a six-month period and you're given a three-month shortened statutory period. So how do you stop that clock? Well, one of the ways is you file the after final that puts in condition for allowance, or you file a notice of appeal, or you file an RCE, which would remove the finality of the rejection. So thinking about how you can address these type of final rejections, these are some, the options, and within these options, we have these appeal programs and pilot programs that we're running. The 116 practice, it applies to after final rejections, but before or on the same day of filing of appeal. So if we're doing amendments, affidavit, or other evidence, and it's between that time frame, we use 37 CFR 116. And then after the date of the notice of appeal, we move over to 41.33. Once we have a final rejection, now it's, I call it the ball shifts, and the ball is actually in examiner's court because there's not unlimited right to practice further prosecution after the final rejection, and it's generally within the terms and conditions of some of the programs that we have. Ordinarily, amendments are filed after final are not entered unless they are approved by the examiner. The examiner is the one that controls the record generally. The board does not generally add new or additional evidence, and they will be considered on the record of what's in front of them, which is entered or not entered by the examiner and all. So what is the purpose of after final? Well, the purpose of after final is to be compact. We love compact prosecution. We like to reduce pendency. So we create periods within this time that either puts in condition for allowance or better condition for appeal. And that is some of our goals when we handle these type of things. What do we give? We grant a shortened statutory period of 3 months. It starts from the date the final rejection is mailed, and we can extend that up to 3 months. Now, one thing that we can say is it's never going to expire beyond a six-month period. There's some confusion when we do that two-month window and people respond after 3 months, and they think they'll still get the three-month window beyond the six-month date. That actually is not accurate. It's 6 months from the final mailing of the final rejection, not 6 months if we got an extended under the two-month, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And we shouldn't consider these after final unless if you go outside of that window of the shortened statutory period, you file the petition fee for the extensions of time. So in order to make it something for us to consider, you would also have to extend it beyond that three period. What we now put in all the office rejections of this is our notice concerning the two-month situation. And then what we say is there's a three-month shortened statutory period. However, if you come in within 2 months, we're going to have a period that's going to expire the later of two dates, either the three-month date of the mailing of the rejection or the day in which we mail the advisory in response to the after final under 116. So in that situation, we would have the later of the two. If the applicant doesn't place the case in condition for allowance, the advisory will be sent notifying that the period continues to run if there wasn't already a notice of appeal also filed. Normally, it does run 3 months from the final mailing of the final rejection. However, if there was an advisory that was mailed more than 3 months in a situation and you filed your 116 prior to 2 months, in that situation, you get the benefit of the three-month period ending beyond the three-month date. And a lot of people are sort of not aware of this program. They should be mailed because we're starting to mail them all out. And it's always a good fact. It doesn't cost anything to file those because it's within the three-month period. You get a response. Sometimes you even get the response before the 3 months. And in some of these situations, people may start out with the 116 first and then get a response to that. And then they may want to go to the AFCP 2.0 because they would still be allowed to do that and they're not precluded from choosing one of the two. They could do them sequentially. So, for instance, if we look at a situation like this, we have a final rejection mailed, and within 2 months, the 116 comes in, and the advisory is mailed prior to 3 months, then the shortened statutory period ends at 3 months. If, on the other hand, the 116 is mailed and the shortened statutory period expired after 3 months, since we didn't mail the advisory. One thing you should also know is the shortened statutory period will actually end on that specific day when that advisory is mailed. So there's no way to get another paper in to prevent at least a one-month extension of time in that situation. And if you look when you would be due the one-month extension period in a situation like that, you would have halfway between the 3 and the 4 month period to have the 1 month EOT, and then 4 to 5 months would be the 2 month EOT, and you would never get a full month to do the 3 month extension of time in those scenarios.